Oh my gosh, as far as I can see, our crowd out here, as far as I can see, it's like Coachella this weekend. Here we are. It's Pleasant Valley instead of Coachella. How far can we see? How far can any of us see? Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, she could see somewhere over the rainbow, right? In her imagination, she could see far. And in our Krishna Govinda that we watched, this song that I wrote with Vito, the first line is, I move towards the, I look to the horizon as far as I can see. My goal seems so distant as far as it can be. And still I travel onwards until the end of time, until I know for sure that you are mine. So it's like the horizon is there, but the more we walk towards it, the further away it gets from us, right? And sometimes that's how it seems it is with our goals, the things that we really want in life. We can see the stars because they're lit up in the sky. And yet we know that there is more beyond those stars, other planets that we can't see with our human eye. But we can be given a divine eye. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna is confused and he starts asking Krishna all these questions, Krishna is explaining to him how the world works. And Arjuna is like, you know, I get it kind of intellectually, but I'm the kind of person that needs to see it. I need to see it. So can you give me some kind of like a divine eye so that I can really understand what you're saying? You're saying we're all one, but I don't see it. I see it as all separate people. You're saying it's one planet, one universe, but I see it as this land and that land and this weather and that weather. I need to see it. So Krishna's like, okay, here you go. Gives him the divine eye. Arjuna, whoa, freaks out because now he sees it all at once. And he's like, oh, the many worlds, the many faces, the many eyes, it's all you. It's all you, Krishna. It's all you. He's like, it's so beautiful. It's so amazing. It's so about. And then he's like, all of a sudden, oh my gosh, it's so terrible. It's so awful. It's so hideous. It's like, it's everything all at once. And he's like, so confused. And he says, okay, enough. Turn off the divine eye. I'll go back. And please put yourself in your normal form that I know you as my friend. This is what I can handle as a human. But I get it now. I get what you're saying. I see the possibilities. Like the universe, we are expansive. We are unlimited. We are smarter than we think. We see these little crows out. I mean, we've got so many. I don't know if it's springtime or what, but they're out there. These crows are super smart. You know, we might just think, oh, they're just animals. They're not humans. They're not AI. They're not computers. But they are so smart. This one study was done where they had a bottle of water, but it's only filled up a little bit, right? And you know how a bottle of water is. It's small at the top and then it's bigger at the bottom. And the crow goes up to the bottle of the water and he starts poking his beak in it to try to get the water. But of course it doesn't reach. So the crow, smart as he is, starts looking around. He finds a pebble. He drops the pebble in the water. He keeps going and going until the water level rises where he can drink the water out of there. That's how smart he is. That's how they all are. They figure it out. I mean, I've got squirrels in my backyard. I can see those little critters are really smart too. We don't give ourselves enough credit. But we can see examples throughout time and cultures of the potential that we each individually have. We see the potential in how compassionate a person can be with Mother Teresa, right? And Gandhi, what a leader can be like with Gandhi. He sets the bar really high. Or like musicians, composers with Alberto Del Pino, what an amazing musician, right? Or like Beethoven, who was deaf and could still compose. He couldn't hear, but he could hear the music and put it out there, right? What about Shakespeare? He wrote all these plays, and it said, and me as a writer, I know this to be true, every other story that's ever been written throughout time is one of those plays moved around. It's all Shakespeare. It's all Shakespeare. Somehow he channeled it, and now we're all just copying him. That's just the way it goes. And Olympians, physical abilities. Who would think that this ice skater could do what do they call it? Triple, quadruple, let's squirrel, twirl, whatever? Or Olga Corbett or Mary Lou Retton could do all that, or a runner could run so fast, but it's possible, and we see it. It's possible to do the impossible. If we have milk mixed up with water, like you take half a bottle of water, put milk in it, shake it up. It's impossible to separate the milk and the water, right? Nope. A swan can do it. That's what swans do. If you pour it in a bowl, somehow it knows how to separate the milk from the water, and it just drinks the milk. Is that amazing? Yeah. This is called discernment, being able to tell, being able to separate out, knowing what's real, what's not real. They have such fine discernment. So nothing is impossible. We just have to decide what we want. What do we want? And then we have to see it. Our desires are there for a reason. There's only two reasons we have a desire. One is that it's a past life memory. So like if someone desires, I want to be a king or whatever, it's probably not that he really wants to be a king or that he grew up with his dad saying, you're going to be king one day. It's probably that in a past life he was a king and he's remembering that life. So that's kind of interesting to look at in terms of what can we learn from this. I had that life, so I don't necessarily need to have it again in this life. Like I remember in class one time with Swami Sarvadevananda, we were all talking about what we want, you know. I was like, I want grandkids. I want grandkids so bad. I want, you know, blah, blah, blah. And here I am. My mom was 44 when she had her grandkid, and I'm like 60 now, and I don't have any grandkids. I just want a grandkid. So this one guy in class, Nitin, my very good friend, said, but Parma, that's my name at the temple, Parma, you're only thinking you want grandkids because you're remembering what it's like to have grandkids from your past lives. You've already had grandkids. Why do you need them again? You don't need them. I'm like, oh. So as of that moment, then I was like, I kind of dropped the desire. It's like, okay, if I have them, fine. If I don't have them, fine. I'm fine either way. But I have to let you know that last week I heard from Freddie, and his wife is expecting. So like, I'm really happy. Yeah, I mean, I got 7 grandkids in Australia, but they're in Australia, you know what I mean? I want to like hold them and play with them and everything. So, but I got one coming in October. So stay tuned. I'm sure you're going to hear tons of stories about this. But the other reason we have a desire, and I'm not just talking about a desire for like a cup of coffee or whatever, because those are like, that's more karma, not dharma. Those are desires that get us into the karma cycle and our habits and everything. So I'm talking about dharma, our purpose. The other reason we have a desire like that is that it's a clue to our dharma, our purpose in life. So we need to listen to those and pay attention. We would not have the desire if we did not have the capability to fulfill it. We wouldn't have that desire if it were not meant for us. So we need to pay attention, because what can happen is if we ignore it, or we, you know, put our attention on something else and work on another path that's not necessarily ours, we're going to end up coming back again because we have unfulfilled desires. So it's important that those desires of the heart, that you really pay attention to those and work to fulfill them. There's only two ways things happen on this earth. Only two ways. One is by force, and the other is by desire. And by force, I mean like the force of gravity. If I drop this mic, boom, it falls on the floor. That's the force of gravity making it happen. That's just the law of science. It's just science. But the other way is desire. So if we want something, our heart guides us. Our intuition guides us, and we can work to fulfill that desire. It's interesting. We can't let, when we have a desire can override force. So here's an example of that. In India, sometimes you'll see elephants tied up to like a little stick like this, just this simple. And you know that the elephant can just walk away whenever it wants, but it doesn't. How does this happen? Because they train them when they're little. They tie them to a big tree at first, and they learn, oh, if I pull away, it's going to hurt, and I'm not going to pull away. And little by little, they end up just tying them to this, and then they just stay put. They don't have the will, because they think the force there is against them. So as humans, we need to realize we can overcome any force that's against us to fulfill our desires. Yesterday, April 12th, was Hanuman's birthday. It's called Hanuman Jayanti in Hinduism. And I went to the temple, and we sang the Hanuman Chalisa. We were supposed to sing it 11 times. We ended up singing it 12 times. We got a bonus in there. It was so wonderful to be in this uplifting environment singing in Sanskrit. When you sing in Sanskrit, it's like all these mantras, 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 and you get the power of the mantra, and it just resonates within you. And then the people all around, everybody's singing the same ones, and different people are drumming or playing the harmonium, or I had like little bells. I'm and it's like, oh, we're just rocking out to the Hanuman Chalisa. It was so fun. But I thought I'd bring up Hanuman because he's a good example for us of the power that comes from devotion, strength, and humility. That's what he teaches us. Devotion, strength, and humility. Hanuman is the monkey god. Oh, I was going to bring him today. Shoot, I forgot to bring him. I've got this little Hanuman. I brought him yesterday to the temple so I could put him on the altar and he got blessed. It's cute little, like a stuffed animal, Hanuman. He's so cute. But he's a monkey. But he's a god, and he is super strong, and he's got powers, And when he was just a little monkey, everybody thought he was just a regular little monkey, until one day he was being mischievous, and he saw the sun in the sky, and he thought it was a mango. He thought, oh, that's a beautiful ripe mango. I'm going to go. And he went flying up there, and he grabbed the sun, and he took a bite out of it. And everybody's like, what is wrong with this kid? He has superpowers and everything. And, you know, the part of the world went dark for a while because they're like, this monkey ate part of the sun. So he came back, and the god said, okay, well, look, we need to train you properly. You're just a little kid. You don't know your strengths. We've got to train you, and don't be eating the sun. So he learned his powers, and some of his powers were that he could grow really, really, really big, like huge, or he could shrink down really, really, really small. So when he met Ram, who's an incarnation of Krishna, when he met Ram, who's basically God incarnate, just like Krishna is, and Lakshman, on a journey, he said, how can I help you guys? How can I help you? And he said, we're trying to find Sita. Sita's been kidnapped. This is Ram's wife, and we need to find her. Can you help us? And he says, yes, I can help you. And he says, get up on my shoulders. And they're like, get up on your shoulders. You're a monkey. And he grew really big. And then he put them on their shoulders, and he went to help them find Sita. And then when they found Sita and they knew where she was, they're like, how are we going to get in there? How are we going to get a message to her? And he's like, I'll handle it. And so he shrunk down really small, and he snuck in, and he told Sita that they're outside, and this is what we're going to do, and the whole plan. So he's smart. And he's devoted. He loves Ram and Sita and Lakshman. People would ask him, where do they live? Where are they? Where can we see them? He said, they live in my heart. They're like, no, they don't. Where do they live? And he opened his chest like this, and there they were. He had them in there. So it's like, they're like, okay, we get it. Let's see. So the other thing he has, so he has devotion, he has strength, and he has humility. Because even with all his strengths and all his abilities, he is kind and he is loving and he is helpful. He's like the God that we call on when we need help. And he's there like this. He's just by our side. He's our little monkey friend who can handle what we can't handle. And one of the things he can handle is legal matters. Isn't that good? So whenever we're like in a dilemma, like, oh my, I think this is too much, I don't understand it, say, you know what, Hanuman, you take care of it. This is your job right now. So, and he'll do it. Okay. So Hanuman teaches us also to overcome our fears. He has humility, and he confronts fears and challenges. There are many, in psychology, therapeutic side effects to overcoming our fears, to having humility, to being able to handle these things. There are therapeutic effects of prayer and meditation. One is that it relieves stress and relieves anxiety, and we know that to be true, right? Meditate, pray. If you want to pray to Hanuman, Krishna, God, the universe, do your spiritual mind treatment, any of that, that all counts. That all works. The other thing is that it helps us have mental clarity. So what does this mean? In the Gita, there's a line that says, desire is the dust that keeps the shine off the glass. Desire is the smoke blocking the fire. We need to clear that dust away. We need to clear that fire away so that we can see clearly. It's like the muddy pond example, where if the pond is all muddy and stirred up, you look in it and you can't see anything, right? But if you let everything settle, you look down and you can see yourself. It's like a mirror. You can see down to the bottom if it's clear enough. So we do this, we have this mental clarity. We get this by karma yoga, selfless actions, by helping others just like Hanuman did, by praying, by chanting, by meditating, and just being at peace, spending time in silence. It gives us this clarity to see more clearly. So I thought we'd do a real quick meditation right now to end things. So I'm going to tell you what the meditation is first so you know what to expect. The meditation is threefold. There's an in-breath where you ask yourself the question, who am I? Then you hold your breath where you say, I am that. And then you exhale on the out-breath and you say to yourself, I am not this. This is in Sanskrit, koham, soham, naham. So we'll do both. But it comes from that saying, I am that, you are that, all this is that, and that is all there is. Good, huh? Okay, so close your eyes, be comfortable. Take a deep breath in and out just to clear, release, and be ready. So first we're going to take one breath in and hold your breath. Who am I? Koham. Now hold your breath. I am that. So hum. And release your breath. I am not this. Na hum. And there we go. Open your eyes. And remember that throughout the day. I am that. You are that. All this is that. And that is all there is. And so it is. Alberto!